Star.com.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Time to talk some NFL. Our good buddy Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com is the site. He's also founder of PFG Vibe, a contributor to Fans Sided, NFL Spin Zone, and more. Russell, hope you're having a great Tuesday. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. And just for a little public service announcement, we're doing some transition work on ProFootballGuru.com, so be patient with us over the next week or so.
Absolutely. All right, so let's just throw it out there as far as the big headline from the weekend. Two words, Tom Brady, 10th Super Bowl. He's going for his 7th ring. And the fact that this all started back in the 2002 season, his first appearance, and here he is still going strong in a season for the year 2020.
Yeah, you know, week two, 2001, if I remember right, affected by 9/11. I think it was postponed week two because, you remember, after the first week, football, the Tuesday after the week one games is when the attack in New York took place. So postponed game, Drew Bledsoe gets hurt. He comes in, starts the following week, and the legend lives on. I'm tempted to do the Edmonds Fitzgerald there. The legend lives on from the triple on down. But the resiliency is amazing. He had the 1 year in 2008 when he got hurt in week one and didn't play the rest of the year. He got suspended back in, 2016, and that really affected him because they went on and won the Super Bowl that year after he missed the first four games. And now he attempts to do something that only one other quarterback has done, and that's lead two teams, different teams, to Super Bowl championships. Peyton Manning did it with the Colts and the Broncos. But, you know, I also want to give credit where credit's due here. And that's just the Buccaneers in general who have gotten hot at the right time. They're only the fifth team in NFL history to win three straight road playoff games and get to the Super Bowl. It's worth noting that the last three teams to do it, the 2005 Steelers, the 2007 Giants, and the 2010 Packers, all won the Super Bowl. The first team to do it was actually the Patriots, but it was pre-Tom Brady by about 15 years, 1985.
And remember that one quite well. And Patriots want to forget it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they beat the Jets, they beat the Raiders at the L.A. Coliseum, and then they went to Miami where they had not won in a long time and beat Marino and the Dolphins in the AFC title game. And then, Miami was the only team to beat the Bears in 85 and on Monday night. And, you know, that was an unbelievably incredible Bears defense, which now has handful of Hall of Famers from that team in there, like Richard Dent and Dan Hampton and Mike Singletary and so on. So, but you know, like I said, Tom Brady. Let me just throw this out here because I want to give credit to all the Buccaneers. The first two playoff games, it was a lot of running by Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. The game right against Green Bay, five sacks on Aaron Rodgers. I think three by Shaq Barrett and two by Jason Pierre-Paul. So think about this, and let's just not say the name Tom Brady. In the first two playoff games, less than 55% completion percentage. In the third playoff game, three picks to go with three interceptions. And yet the Buccaneers won all three games and scored at least 30 points in each one.
I think the thing, though, that's important is the fact that Tom Brady brought everybody's game up a different notch, mm-hmm, including Leonard Fournette.
That's what I was getting to, Johnny. To me, Brady in this scenario has been less about his play on the field, okay? Because I think his play on the field has been timely, okay? The touchdown pass, the Scotty Miller, the capitalizing on the turnovers against the Saints. And it's been more the calm. And when he did make mistakes or did not play well, he didn't let it affect them. You couldn't say that about the Buccaneers in recent times, especially with Jameis Winston. You know, sorry to say, when you throw 30 interceptions to go along with a handful of lost fumbles in one season, I mean, there's a reason Bruce Arians and them wanted Tom Brady. Was also, they knew they had a good supporting cast, but they needed to hang on to the football, for goodness sake. I mean, Tampa Bay, 2 years in a row, even before Arians got there, led the league in turnovers. Last year, Johnny, Tampa Bay turned over the ball 41 times as a team. They didn't come close to that this year. Even with, like I say, even with three interceptions in the second half against the Packers, they made timely plays on defense. They got heat on Aaron Rodgers throughout the day. And what's going to me, is more interesting than Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes is how does Kansas City offset the fact that, well, they already didn't have their right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz, and now they don't have their left tackle on Eric Fisher.
And you look, and here's the thing, too. We look at what Kansas City has been, you know, what they were able to do on Sunday. And one of the things that I at least, one of the reasons why I think at least Tampa Bay has the opportunity, if they can find a way to put pressure and force Patrick Mahomes to make mistakes. But, you know, although he's young, I mean, look, we're talking about three straight AFC Championship game appearances, back-to-back Super Bowl appearances. And also, yes, I understand it's being played in Tampa, but my guess is this is not going to have anything close to a feel of a Super Bowl. Maybe more so for Tampa in the sense that their practice facilities right next door to their stadium, and so they see everything being put up and getting everybody getting ready for the Super Bowl as far as banners and everything. And so, you know, they've had a sense of awareness about the Super Bowl, where it's being played, because they see it every day in practice.
Well, something to throw out here, a couple things, as a matter of fact. You know, I saw it today via Adam Schefter. Because of COVID, the Chiefs won't be able to travel until February 5th for the Super Bowl and won't come into Tampa until the 6th, which is the day before the game.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if that plays any kind of factor. You know, a lot of the Super Bowl events are canceled this year because of COVID and so on. So it's obviously going to be a much different year in that regard. Let's also not forget one very, very important thing. Kansas City went into Tampa and beat the Buccaneers earlier this year. You know, Tampa lost three games. In fact, Tampa, if you include the playoffs, Johnny, they're 9-2 on the road and 5-3 at home this year. So as we know, home field advantage last year, it started to disappear. This year, it didn't exist.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
In the regular season, home teams are one game under 500. In the playoffs, home teams are 6-6. Now, this is considered a neutral site game, but if you're going to, you know, throw in the fact that is them hosting the game, which, by the way, kudos, I've pointed out to several things, I'm sure you know this as well. Basically, one-third of the crowd on Super Bowl Sunday is going to be healthcare workers.
Right.
Courtesy of the NFL, which I think is absolutely tremendous. And, you know, the league's been on top of the COVID situation throughout. And, you know, I know they've gotten criticism over people who don't really understand the rules of what they were trying to do, but they stuck to their guns throughout the year. So I give the league a lot of credit. They got the whole season in. Let's not forget that. So, but, you know, there's a lot of history involved in this as well. I mean, you know, Kansas City's looking to become the first team to repeat since Brady and the Patriots in 2003 and 2004.
Right.
The Chiefs are the 14th team to get to the Super Bowl after winning it. And the previous 13 were 8-5 in their attempt to repeat. But the last two times it happened, New England in 2017 and Seattle in 2014, they got dethroned. So, you know, not as easy as it used to be in repeating. And by the way, for what this is worth, this will also be the 14th time that two teams that met during the regular season will meet in the Super Bowl. May surprise you to know. 6-7 if you were the team that won the first meeting. So below 500.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to throw that out there when you mentioned that these two teams met in the regular season, that doesn't mean success as far as the Super Bowl is concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other
this is the second time in 3 years that Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes will meet as starting quarterbacks.
Right.
They played each other twice in 2018. The Patriots won both games. And then this year, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs won in Tampa Bay, and now they're going to have to try and win in Tampa Bay this year. So, you know, it was funny. Last week, we had two rematches in the championship games, Johnny. And both teams that won during the regular season won in the playoffs. Okay? Tampa Bay beat Green Bay earlier this year and did it again, and then Kansas City actually beat Buffalo twice this year, once in each game. So going by that, who knows? But it should be a lot of fun. It really should. I still have memories of Tyreek Hill in the first quarter at Tampa Bay having 200 receiving yards in the first quarter against the Bucs secondary.
And he's more than capable of pulling that off again. But I'm sure that they're thinking ahead and realizing that, okay, somebody else is going to have to beat us. One of the question marks that we have now as far as the offseason, not just Aaron Rodgers with the Packers, there's Matthew Stafford's situation, Deshaun Watson as well. How many of the three end up with different teams as far as 2021?
I haven't understood the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. I think Aaron Rodgers, after the game, voiced a little frustration, disappointment in the loss and so on. And then all of a sudden you got people popping up like he's going to get traded or he doesn't want to be there anymore. And I never got that sense whatsoever. As far as Matthew Stafford, that's a different situation. The Lions have already announced basically they're getting ready to part ways with him, and you're going to have to orchestrate a trade in order to get him, unless they can't trade him, and then they just decide to release him, which I'd still be surprised because I think someone will go out and get him. But we could see a lot of quarterback movement around the league. You got Deshaun Watson, who has kind of basically stated behind the scenes that regardless of who the head coach is, he guess he just doesn't want to be affiliated with the organization anymore, but that's easier said than done.
Well, he felt he was lied to, honestly, because of how it was handled with the GM.
Yeah, and I totally get that, and it's entirely possible. I'm not disagreeing with that fact, but I still find it hard to believe. Well, I find it hard to believe that the Houston Texans would just give him away. Of course, they basically just gave away DeAndre Hopkins last year, too, to the Arizona Cardinals, although that was Bill O'Brien, trying to do everything for the organization at the same time. You know, to me, I can't imagine anything happened to Deshaun Watson. We're still waiting for them to name a head coach and a general manager. So, maybe they are waiting until after the Super Bowl. Maybe it will. But I'm surprised they haven't gotten a GM in. But, of course, Philip Rivers is retired. So the Colts, which is not a big surprise. He seemed like he was going to be a one-year stopgap. What surprises me, though, Johnny, is I hear, well, maybe Matthew Stafford to the Colts or maybe Carson Wentz to the Colts. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they draft Jacob Eason in the fourth round?
But Jacob Eason to me is not Justin Herbert. He is not one of the Tua Tagovailoa. He's not there yet. And so Indianapolis, especially with how much money they have to spend, one of the top three teams as far as with plenty of room over the under the salary cap. I mean, $60 million or so. And this is why we talk about Aaron Rodgers, and we've got about another minute. The reason I keep thinking Aaron Rodgers, the fact that one extra player, look how much of a difference one extra player could have helped Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. Instead, the Packers are thinking about their future, and they draft Jordan Love. And that is why Aaron Rodgers, especially how everything played out, maybe he's backing it off right now, but don't be shocked to say, if as this mounts, the more time away, and if it starts building up in your head, you get to the point where you don't trust the Packers front office anymore.
Well, I get all that and so on, but you got to also remember in the case of Aaron Rodgers, he's not a free agent. He can't just come and go.
They're not going to let him go without getting some compensation. So if he says, all right, look, either trade me or I'm retiring, the Packers aren't going to say, okay, just go ahead, because they will want something. And they understand. I mean, so, yeah, they don't have to do anything. They'd be stupid if they didn't.
Right. I can't see him going anywhere. But you bring up a good reason, a good factor about the Colts. And to me, I'd like to see the Colts. I'm actually working on a piece of the Colts right now. With that kind of money, I think they could go after some top-line free agents.
Absolutely.
In terms of maybe wide receiver, defensive line. Remember, they've got a big hole to fill with left tackle with Anthony Costanzo retiring. And, their pride and joy the last couple of years has been the offensive line. So maybe they address that in the draft. In the first round or so on, but the Colts have some maybe some other needs. And listen, I'm not anointing Jacob Eason, I don't think the Colts know what they have with him, but they seem pretty happy to get him in the fourth round this past year. And, you know, fourth-round quarterbacks like Dak Prescott have done okay in this league. They still have Jacoby Brissett there as kind of a backup plan. But if they wind up getting a deal from Matthew Stafford or somebody like that who could help them out immediately, maybe they let Jacob Eason sit for another year. I mean, listen, there's a lot of life left in that arm of Matthew Stafford. And, you know, early in his career, he couldn't stay healthy, been a little nicked up the last couple of years, certainly hasn't gotten any help from his defense. You know, the Lions gave up the second most points in NFL history this year. So, you know, even with respectable scoring numbers, you know, they're starting over again. My goodness, Mike, you speak of the Colts.
Wait, we're up against the break, Russell. I have to let you go, buddy. But if you're not doing so already, you need to keep up with Russell on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. And there you can also find all the different posts from Russell, all the sites from ProFootballGuru.com, FanSided NFL, NFL Spin Zone, and more. Russell, thank you as always for joining us, buddy.
Thank you for indulging my long-windedness. So, good night.
Hey, be safe. Have a great week.
You too.